5, says this in verse 1. It says, they came to the other side of the sea of the country of the Gazareans, and when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar off, he ran, and he fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God not to torment me." But Jesus said to the man, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered into the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down a steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those that had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And he was getting into the boat, and the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and he began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everybody marveled. And we'll finish there at the end of verse 20. The reason that I read to you this, because I'm sure some of you are sitting there thinking to yourselves, I've just been talking about China. Now you read me a random passage about a demon-possessed man. What is going on? But that's the whole purpose of this passage. If you look at this passage just as a passage, just as a part of Jesus' life, you think, what a weird thing to have in the Bible. What a weird portion of scripture to have in the Bible. A part of Jesus' life where he traveled across to the other side of the sea, spoke to one man, healed him, and then he got back in the boat and went where he came from and carried on his ministry. You think, why is that even in there? What's the point in this? But as we look at the context surrounding this passage, it starts to really open up to us exactly why it's there and what God is saying to us through it. As we said beforehand, Jesus was preaching to multitudes of people, tons and tons of people. And then we see at the end of chapter 4, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. And they decided to go. Now, if you track Jesus' ministry up until this point, from the time that he was born up until this moment, he had spent his entire life on the left-hand side of the Sea of Galilee. You imagine the Sea of Galilee that flowed into the River Jordan. Jesus had been on the left-hand side for his entire time, going to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, to Egypt, to Nazareth, to Cana, to Samaria, to the wilderness. He'd been in all of these places on the left-hand side of the Sea of Galilee. And then he says to his disciples, let's go to the other side. For the first time in Jesus' ministry, he was traveling across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They travel across and they go through the storms. And you imagine being a disciple in this situation. You were comfortable. You were happy. There was tons and tons of people coming to see Jesus all the time. And then suddenly you get on this boat to go to the other side. This massive storm erupts. And we start thinking, we're going to die. We're going to die. What's going on? Why are we on this boat? Why is this happening? And then Jesus comes up and he calms the storm. And you think, wow, this is amazing. You get to the other side. And after all of that, you've gone through this storm, you've gone through this horrible time where you're starting to doubt and where you're worried about what's going to happen. You get to the other side and you meet some nutter that's trapped in these tombs, chained up, ripped to pieces, and you think, what are we doing here? And Jesus goes over and he speaks to this man and he heals him. He heals him of the demons that he had within his body, sends them into the pigs, and the pigs rush down to the sea. Again, you imagine that situation. The herdsmen have gone off and tell people in the village about it. You're somebody who people are saying, this man Jesus has just come over and he's just healed the man Legion in the tombs. And you go, I want to see about this. And you go over, you go and find out, and you arrive at this situation. Imagine being somebody from the village, arriving at this situation, seeing Legion, who you've known for years, who you've known is absolutely crazy. And he's sitting there sound and in his right mind and 2,000 dead pigs lying in the sea. Can you imagine sitting there and seeing that? And it gives us context into that passage that when it says about that, all that had happened, it says that they came to Jesus and they begged him to depart. It says in verse 17, they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. If we know about the history of Jesus and know that he has been on the left-hand side of the Sea of Galilee for all of this time up until this moment, no wonder they're begging him to leave. They know nothing of him. They don't know Jesus. So they're scared. They're wondering what's going on. They're seeing this man in his right mind and these 2,000 dead pigs floating in the sea. And they're like, please, just go away. Just go away. Just leave us. And then Jesus says, let's get back in the boat. And you're the disciple going, what on earth? We have just nearly died in a storm. We've come over and spoke to one man, and then now we're going back to where we came from. What was the point in this? But it shows us, first and foremost, how much of an influence and how much impact and how much prominence Jesus puts on individuals. Jesus went across to the other side of the sea, knowing that his disciples were going to start to doubt him a little bit because of the storm, knowing that the people on the other side of the sea were going to reject him and were going to beg for him to go away from where they were. But yet he'd done it anyway because he wanted to reach that individual, because he knew how important it was to reach that one person. Isn't that an amazing story that as we think of the thread that runs through the Bible, all the way from the beginning, from when Adam and Eve sinned, and in Genesis 3:15, we see the great plan of salvation that God rolls out, that when Adam and Eve have sinned, he rolls out this plan of how he was going to bring his people back to himself. And we see all the way through, and we see the fact that in that plan, Jesus was to come down to earth, knowing that he was going to be despised, knowing that he was going to be rejected, knowing that he was going to die on the cross, but yet he'd done it anyway. For individuals. He'd done it anyway for us. It was C.S. Lewis who was once quoted as saying, when Jesus died in this wounded world, he died not for men, but for each man. And if each man had been the only man made, he would have done no less. It really puts a responsibility on us as we see nations like this, as we see people trying to reach out. One of the things that baffled me while we were out was the fact that when we asked people about what to pray for them, they never asked us to pray the persecution would stop. But they always, in each place that we went to, asked us to pray for the fact that they would have boldness to be able to still do all that they could despite the persecution that they were going to face. Jesus gives us an authority and Jesus gives us an ability that not only has he saved us, but he chooses to use us to be able to fulfill his plans and purposes here on earth. How amazing is that to be able to think of? That we think and we remember communion as we sit here and as we spend time remembering the great thing that Jesus has done for us in saving us. But yet if we are saved, he then not only does that, but he gives us gifts, he gives us talents, he gives us abilities for us to be able to use for him. And he chooses to use us with all the things that we have done wrong. He still chooses to use us to be able to fulfill his plans and purposes. We see at this passage, we see the legion wanted to go with Jesus. Legion said, can I go with you? I want to go to where you're going. And Jesus said, no. He said, you can see there in verse 19, he said, he didn't depart him to go with him, but he said, go home, go and spend 4 years in Bible college. Make sure that you know your theology well, and then you might be able to tell someone about Jesus. He didn't, did he? He said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. That's what he tells him to do. And he departs into Decapolis to be able to go and tell people about him. You have an amazing opportunity here as a church to be able to reach out. You have a freedom to be able to open your building every Sunday, to be able to invite people in, to be able to bring them into this service where we can worship God freely, where we can read the Bible freely, where we don't have to worry about someone bursting through a door and arresting us and all of these different things. We have an amazing opportunity here. And it's so important that we don't take it lightly, but that we submit to the will of God, knowing that he can use us to do amazing things. Jesus goes back to the left-hand side of the Sea of Galilee, and he starts to travel down south, and you can start to read that throughout chapter 6. John the Baptist dies, and he goes to his family, and he mourns for them. And the next time we see of Jesus is in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 31, we read about Jesus. He says, at this point, he says, and he returned from the region of Tyre and through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. So he goes back to the Decapolis. He travels down south and he goes back into the Decapolis. The Decapolis was the region where Legion had went. It was a region that consisted of about 10 cities, 10 big towns or cities, that he went and he was told to go and tell Jesus, tell people about the amazing things that Jesus has done for us. And what do we see when Jesus enters back into the Decapolis and goes into this area? You see at the start of chapter 8, it's the feeding of the 4,000. The last time Jesus went across to the Sea of Galilee, nobody knew who he was and begged them to depart from where they were. And yet the next time he travels over, there are 4,000 people waiting for him. Where did they come from? They came from one man that Jesus had told to go and to tell people about the amazing things that I have done for you. We believe, and I like to hope that we believe, that we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, forever. We serve the same God that we see here in the Bible. So what's to say that God can't use us to do the exact same thing that he used Legion for here? It's so important to remember that. The amazing opportunity that we have, the amazing advantage that we have in terms of the freedom that we have to be able to go out. And it's our job and our responsibility to do all that we can while we can to fulfill this great commission that God gives us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. We need to do all that we can. I preached in just over 50 churches last year. I was going around churches all over the UK preaching and doing different things. And one of the things I found fascinating as I spoke to people and give this sort of message about how important it is as a church for you to go out and to reach others is the fact that I would speak to a lot of older people in these churches and would chat to them about it, and they'd say, do you know what, Danny? I'm too old for it now. I've been doing church for years. I've been in church. I've been a part of church for years. And I think it's a younger person's game now. Do you know, going out, going into the areas, reaching people, it's a young person's game now. It's for young people to do. And then I'd speak to young people in youth meetings and in church meetings, and they said to me, do you know what, Danny? I don't think I'm old enough yet. I've still got a lot to learn. I've still got a lot to be doing. I've still got a lot to find out about Christian faith and establish myself. And then I'll be able to go out and reach people. It's still for the older people to do now until we're more ready. And you're standing there going, who's going to do the work? It's like a small group of people between 35 and 40 that are expected to do everything. But one of the things that we realize through passages like this and through the thread that runs through the Bible is that while you have breath in your lungs and a hope in your heart, it is your responsibility to do all that you can to go into the world, to preach the gospel, to do what Jesus told Legion to do at the end of that passage, to be able to go tell people of the amazing things that I have done for you and I've had compassion on you. We have an amazing hope in our heart. It's a joy. It's an amazing privilege that we have that God has saved us and that he chooses to use us to be able to tell other people about him. And we should be excited for that because we have an amazing advantage in this country, an advantage that we don't know how much longer we're going to have it for. There's no reason that we can't end up like China in the next 10 years. We don't know what's around the corner. But we know with an assurance in our heart that God is in the business of saving people and is choosing us to be able to go out and tell people about him. It is a great, great commission. It is a great opportunity. Don't take it lightly. One of the things that Thomas, our director, tells us when we join our mission, and I remember in my interview, he said it to me as well. He said, the important thing to always remember is that God isn't looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability to go out and do all that you can while you can. Pray, encourage, serve, go to the other side of the world, go to the other side of your street, support people, do anything. There is a number of things that we can do, but you are here, sitting here, living, breathing, I hope, but all still with me. You're here because you have an opportunity and God has still got a plan and a purpose for your life. Find out what that is and do all that you can while you can, while we have the opportunity to be able to do it. There's an amazing song that we sing quite regularly, and I want to finish just with the words of this for you just as we start to close here. It's called Facing a Task Unfinished. And I think sometimes a lot of you will know this song, but I think it's important sometimes. We sometimes sing songs and we sing hymns and different things like this, but it's important to remember and to think about the words that are being said. And I think no hymn really describes the commission that we have more than this. Just listen to these words as we close. It says, we bear the torch, the flaming, that fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours, fired by the same ambition, and to thee we yield our powers. O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Saviour whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired, from cowardice defenders, from lethargy awake, and forth on thine errand send us to labour for thy sake. Let's pray. Lord, we do just thank you for the great privilege and opportunity that it is to be able to meet here today. We do thank you, Lord, that we come here to be able to rest, to be able to fellowship with each other, but we more importantly come here because you are here with us, Lord. We do thank you, Lord, that you have been a part and leading everything that we do today, Lord, and we do just praise you and thank you, Lord, that you are in control of this church, that you are the God of this city and of this nation and of this world, Lord. And we do just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are still moving, that you are still saving, that you are still inspiring others to go out and to make disciples, Lord. And we do just pray, Lord, that you will help us and inspire us, light a fire in us as a church to do all that we can while we can to reach the people in this area with the amazing good news of the gospel that you have given us. Continue to bless us, Lord. Continue to help us and guide us. And teach us, Lord, that in everything that we do, that it be for your glory and for your honor, Lord, that you will be at the center of all things that we do. For we ask it in your holy and precious name. Amen.